Hello, and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63, Season 4, Episode 15. On this week's podcast, it's going to be a little bit different than our normally scheduled programming due to the fact that there weren't any basketball games this past week. Hopefully, this is the last week for a long time that there aren't any basketball games. Instead, we interviewed a Loyola legend in it of himself, and that man is Billy Clark, a.k.a. Billy Bunnies. So we hope you like this episode. And don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over, it's over. We won the ball game. Loyola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So, Lou, I know we kind of talked about this last week a little bit, teased our listeners with a great guest coming on the pod. So Lou, why don't you give our guest a great introduction here and let us all know what we're in for.
Yeah, so listeners, we got not only one of the biggest, I'd say, Twitter diehard fans, but actually a player, former player, and still a diehard fan to this day. Loyola Ramblers pretty much runs through this man's blood. And it's probably definitely going to run through the history of his kid's blood. And we got a former player, Billy Clark, or the best name on Twitter, Billy Bunnies. If you don't know why, he's definitely tweeted the reason why. Really, we wanted to use this week. Not only we wanted to kind of give a special for the holidays, but just kind of get some insight. And this we talked about this right when we transitioned to A10, was get a former player who actually saw the transition from Horizon MVC and someone who's still kind of connected with the program, and we'll get into that, how connected Billy is. But really just he's a diehard follower, so I'll let Billy kind of start off with his profile. And again, we thank Billy for joining this week and just talk about his connection to Loyola and how it started.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. So my connection to Loyola, I've been going to Loyola games for as long as I can remember. I was playing in alumni games while I was still in high school. So both of my grandpas played at Loyola. My mom's dad is William McCarthy. He's actually in the Hall of Fame at Loyola. My dad's dad, Dick Clark, played there. He played at Michigan State first and then played at Loyola. And then my dad was on the 85 Sweet 16 team. He played there from, 84 to 88, I think. And I've been going to Loyola games since as long as I can remember. So I originally went to Indiana IU and thought that I didn't want to play basketball anymore. I thought I would be a doctor when I grew up. So I thought, I don't have time to waste on basketball. I need to study. I soon learned that I needed basketball to make me focus on school, and about halfway through the year decided that I would try and find a place to go play basketball. My best friend from high school was John Gack, who Loyola fans may remember. We played at Mount Carmel on the south side together, and he said, yeah, we have a new coach coming in. He seems to be a pretty cool guy. And my dad had actually met Porter, and my dad actually reached out to Tom Hitcho, and asked about him. He said, yeah, he's seems to be really excited, which we all know ended up being true. I talked with a couple of programs, mostly Division II, Division III, but still had this dream of being a doctor, and so figured Loyola was the best chance to do that. So met with the coaching staff, and eventually coach called me and said, hey, we have a spot for you if you want to come here. That was August 1st, and classes started, mid-August. So eventually was able to get enrolled and started right away at Loyola. So it's kind of my path to get there.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I think your path is really – I kind of nearly called you a Renaissance man last week just because of the connections you have and then also your own personal story just with the team. But I think we got to start off. You – correct me if I'm wrong, but you joined Loyola your first year. Was also Porter's first year, correct?
Yeah, so, I'm his main first recruit.
That's what I figured.
The guys that came in with Porter was Cully Payne, Joe Chrisman, Christian Thomas, me, London, and then Devin Hill, who didn't, I don't know that Devin even made it to starting school. I think he only was there for the first summer and then he left. So we were kind of his first group, and then the rest were all Jim Whitesell's players.
Gotcha. So being that touted, high touted recruit, did when you were talking with Porter, and then I guess was for you, did you see Porter was still adjusting, or was he ready to take Loyola? Again, he coming from previous head coaching stuff, did you see, I guess my whole point is from the beginning, you saw the beginning, and then you've seen his progression. And then, of course, with his departure from Loyola. So what is kind of sticks out to you with your time with Porter, both probably on and off the court and then over the years?
Well, Porter's vision from day one was exactly what happened. He was going to take the Rick Majerus way and instill that into this culture. It's the first time I'd ever heard the word culture, and he used it every 3 seconds. And, you know, the first time I met Coach was the night they were closing Alumni Gym, the old Alumni Gym. I don't know if that was there when you guys were there. But Alumni Gym, they closed down to make room for the cafeteria and everything. Anyway, it was like this big ceremony, and he said, you know, I was a walk-on at Creighton, and, you know, you'd be coming in as a walk-on, you got to earn everything, you got to be a part of the culture. And then that night, my dad took me out with his old assistant coach, who was Doug Bruno, who is the DePaul women's coach, you know, Hall of Fame coach. And Coach Bruno basically said, you got to find your role on the team, right? You're not going to be the star on the team. You know, use your skills and find a role on the team, whether that's, you know, being the guy who goes between the coach, or you're the guy who kind of, you know, gets the teams together or whatnot. And so ultimately I ended up going, and from day one we met at the top of the IC there, and Coach laid out his plan for the culture, and he said, you know, you better get on the boat now, and we're going to, you know, he was very into his plan, and he was going to take this. We literally watched so much film of St. Louis, which was Rick Majerus's old school. And he said, this is what we're going to be. And he stuck to it, and he believed in his way, and he knew that that was going to be successful once he got the right guys that were for his system. And he sure proved it.
That's pretty awesome to hear. You personally, for me, the Rick Majerus side is really interesting. You always hear, especially during the runs, and both in the Final Four run and the NIT, there were so many questions about what would Rick Majerus say. But to hear a former player actually compare the two and the philosophies, I think they were definitely instilled. So then you mentioned there, like, your role in the team. So I would like just to get – I've heard stories, but I'd like to hear from the man himself, but about the great old days of Gold Squad. And I would love to hear what Gold Squad is for people who don't know. And then what that role means to a team, and then maybe a story you might have that impacted, I think, your time at Loyola.
So what is Gold Squad? Well, when we started there, we had jerseys and basically had every number 1 through 55. And essentially Gold Squad is the practice team. We basically wore the number of the other team's players. If I was being Ryan Brokov and we were playing against Valpo and he was number 45, I would wear number 45. And when I watched film, I would watch him. I wouldn't really, you know, I would focus on our plan, but I would try and do the best Ryan Brokov I could. You know, if we were playing Ray McCallum at Detroit Mercy and he was number 3, I would do my best to try and be, you know, the McDonald's All-American dunk champion to the best of my ability, you know. So our job was to give the best look possible, you know, and truly I felt like a lot of games I knew the offenses of the other team better than some of their players. When we would get in at the end of blowouts in the negative way back then, there would be times where London and I would call the other team's plays. You know, coach would call a play and we'd be like, coach, we don't know that. We're going to run X, you know, whatever play we were playing against Youngstown State and they ran a certain play that we liked. So our favorite thing was doing whatever we could to make the other and make the main guys have to run sprints, basically. that was
the truth comes out.
Yeah. The successful day was them running sprints. So.
Okay. Okay. I think that's always great to hear about from, you hear about these guys who are like, oh, we just wanted to do as much as we could. And it's like, no, I wanted to make them work for it. So I kind of like that side. So I appreciate that. I think I've heard a story of how your one of your favorite moments is when Gold Squad runs the other team's play and actually scores on them, that they couldn't defend their own play that they come up with. So I think that's always a great thing. But so we've talked about Porter, the team. I think the next thing we just have to talk about your time is not only did you start with Porter his first year, but kind of the program really just changed in your time. And I'm not saying change for the bad, or it's like you just mentioned earlier, Alumni Hall gone, right? Yeah. Again, that the history of it was still kept in the halls of Gentile, but Alumni Hall's gone. We also, in your time there, transitioned to the MBC from the Horizon League. So kind of two major, not only kind of, I guess, long-term benefits to the program and to the team, but just ultimately changing in your time. Now, I know they changed for you. I know that they promised you all these things. But what was your take on it as a student athlete, but then also like seeing this monolith of Gentile being built and then also changing conferences? What did that mean to you?
Yeah, so I think first starting about the gym. So growing up, going to Loyola games, you know, you were essentially going to a high school gym. I grew up in Indiana where there were high school gyms bigger than Loyola's gym that seated more. And it was basically Loyola's gym was two sets of bleachers going up on either side. And they never really came close to filling them ever. And then when I decided to go to Loyola, for our first time, we were practicing in Hallis Hall. And which was, you know, it has undergone its own renovations. It used to be basically a dusty floor where we practice, and there'd be like guys playing rec ball like on the court next to us, and we're a Division I school. Porter would be like, I can't even get my own gym here, you know. And you know, I specifically remember, and I've told him this, Derek Boone, who was another walk-on with me, and he was my roommate on the road a lot. The first practice he came to, I thought he was just a student because he didn't have a jersey at that point. And he was shooting around and, like, you know, I would get a rebound before practice. And I, like, wouldn't give him the ball because I thought he was just, like, another student that was just, like, trying to shoot on the same hoops as us. And, you know, ended up, you know, we're good friends to this day, but that was an interesting one. So we went from a high school gym to no gym to this beautiful, you know, Gentile Arena that, and actually when we played DePaul my first year there, my sophomore year, it was pretty packed. And I was like, wow, this is a real college game, a real college experience. And then now going to games, it's like, you know, you see the line all the way down the hall. It's amazing what that progression has been from literally nobody in the stands of a high school gym to a real college, small, you know, mid-major college arena to filling it up has been really, really amazing in the last, you know, 10 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I agree. And I think one thing I want to talk on still about kind of the facilities, and then we'll get into like the competition growth, but what was it like seeing? So I'm assuming you've been back in recent years. But let's be honest, were there more than 10 students average at your games?
Not counting the Band of Wolves. No.
Okay.
Average, no. And if you took the track cross country team out, definitely not. So, if you know, the Band Wolves had to be there because they were, you know, the band, the track team chose to be there. And so there was a good number of them. But other than that, or like over breaks, there would be nobody, no students there. Sometimes literally zero.
It's crazy to hear again. I've witnessed that a little bit our first 2 years because, this was before the Final Four run. And then of course the Final Four run will change everything. Yeah. What was it then? Did you like then that we won the CBI? I know you weren't on the team then. The CBI that probably brought a little bit more fans, but probably not like as many students, of course. But have you liked the? What do you see as the benefit of the progression from? Is it the competition? Is it, of course, winning helps. Let's be honest. But now you see even new scoreboards. So is there something you think is just the consistent winning? Is it the national attention, not only with the team but like Sister Jean? What do you like seeing with now the student section is packed?
I think it comes down to a couple things. First of all, when I was at my orientation, somebody said like, yeah, we have sports here. We have a basketball team. Honestly, I've never been to a game. And that was the orientation. And then Porter had us going to the orientation and introducing ourselves and like working on like when students would show up, we would, you know, unload their stuff and help them load. And so like, just building relationships. Porter would like go into the hallways of the dorms and bring pizzas and be like, come to the game. And it was all him. He's so excited. And so that was a huge thing was coach, you know, and then obviously winning, people want to go see winning exciting games. You know, my first year had probably, well, first of all, we were 7-23. We had maybe three dunks the whole season. You know, we had one lob play we could run, but we couldn't find anybody to run it to because the only guys who, you know, John Gack, who was my buddy, he couldn't, you know, he was the only guy who could dunk on the team, basically. God love Ben Averkamp, but.
Fun fact, I don't think we had one dunk in the Final Four run either. So, you know what? I think it's okay.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a different type of athlete
who can dunk
from,
it.
Yeah, from you know, my time of being there with some of my best friends now that would not play on the current teams, and that started with Milton, you know, transferring from Kansas, and then coach just made it a point that we need Chicago guys, so. I think getting a more exciting brand of basketball, coach basically like giving away shoes. He used to pay for buses to go to games. They literally paid for people to go on spring break to watch us play in St. Louis. Like the school did a great job of doing their best to keep the students involved and keep them invested. And then finally that investment paid off. And now, you know, you say you're from Loyola and people are like, oh, my God. And you're like, wow. Yeah, I was actually like a fan, you know. So,
yeah, no,
people have pride in Loyola over it. So,
hey, Lou, yeah. I want to jump in here just for 1 second because one of the things Billy said was it actually like really sounds true for me. My freshman year, I think it was Bruno Skokna, and I think it was his sophomore year, if I'm not mistaken. And he helped me move in like to the dorm freshman year. So I already kind of knew his face and I chatted with him a bit. And I went on a retreat to Lurek, famous Lurek. And he was there for a different thing. I don't know if the whole team was there. I can't remember specifically, but there's one day where we were both eating lunch and he like was sitting near me and he's like, hey, you a sports fan? And I was like, yeah, like, you know, I love baseball, basketball, whatever. He's like, oh, have you been to a Loyola game? And I was like, oh, no, you know, I'm a freshman. I just got here. He's like, what would it take? Like, how do you think we can get more people to come to our games? And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like kind of hit me as a freshman. You know, I didn't know much about the basketball team, even though I'm a big basketball fan. And I told him, I was like, you know, I honestly think winning is a big thing, but also like, it's cool that you're chatting with me, right? Like making these connections and like getting to know people outside of like, you know, you look at basketball players, you think they're just like superstars sometimes, right? Like they have their own squad. They don't interact much. So, Billy, it's just funny that you mentioned that because that actually did make a big difference like with me. And, it's just cool to see that continued throughout all of, Porter's tenure and still now with Drew too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, Luke, go ahead.
Yeah. No, yeah, I've had moments where I've had, I think my freshman year, I had guys coming to my dorm room handing me schedules. So there definitely were times like that. But one thing that I want to move into is like the program. Not just like the team, but the program. So we've talked about facilities changing. Do you think quickly, Billy, that the MVC, did that change like a level of competition? Of course, it's a little bit higher than Horizon League, but did you see that right away? Or do you think that was kind of over time?
I mean, I saw it right away. I remember Porter being so excited about, and his whole thing was Arch Madness. You guys are going to realize when we get to Arch Madness, you know, the fans in all these stadiums are going to be, there's going to be so many more people. But when we get to Arch Madness, it is like the best end of the season tournament there is. And I actually remember teammates of mine, and I will not tell their names, but they were like, I didn't come here to go to the Missouri Valley. Like, I came here for the Horizon League. I don't know if we're going to make it in the Valley. And, like, literally multiple teammates saying that. And that is the change of culture that eventually, you know, over that Porter was able to recruit guys who were up for a challenge, right? And, I mean, was the Valley better? Heck yeah, we played Wichita State, who had Trey Anthony Early, Fred VanVleet, and Ron Baker on the same team. They had Shaq Morris, who was a stud. I mean, they had three guys that went to the NBA, and two of them were actually like Purdue, and one of them's like a you know
megastar, nearly
megastar, right? And so
yeah,
and like it was Porter being like, it was actually Flash when we were at Wichita. He's like, wait till we go in at the 10-minute timeout. The place will be empty. When we come back out, it'll be packed with people that hate you. And it really was. It was like, the fans at these Valley places were just unbelievable. And that did not exist in the Horizon League outside of Valpo. Valpo always had good fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I've experienced Wichita fans. I've also experienced a Coach Marshall. So it's a really different atmosphere, I think, that whole program. But it definitely – Arch Madness, I agree. And I think the fact that it's so located – it is so located to all, a lot of the schools, yeah, and a lot of where those fan bases are, that you do get – like, I was actually there – I don't know if, Billy, you were there, but I was there working the – when we were playing Wichita in the first round, I think, Arch Madness of 2016. And we were trending on Twitter because we were holding Wichita, I think, like a 2-point game at the time. And you had guys like Devin Turk, you had guys Milt, Montel James, Earl Peterson, Ben, like all just trying to put this team away. And it was just a tough grind. But every fan that wasn't Wichita was rooting for us. You had Southern Illinois fans, you had UNI fans, because again, that hate toward Wichita was very strong. But to see a team like Loyola kind of win was really great. So,
and Horizon League didn't have that. And the Valley, literally on Thursday night, you have the whole places, the upper balconies are filled with teams that aren't even playing. Like, it was just a whole different ball game. So,
yeah, no, I think that is very, it rings true. And then I think that goes into our next kind of big segment. And kind of the reason why I really wanted you here is you've talked about the progression from Horizon MVC, and funny enough, I actually forgot to say, is I think I agree with you so much about Arch Madness, because Horizon League a few years ago lost out on one of their nights at their venue that they played one of their conference tournament games at Gentile. So I think there is a bit of a difference with Horizon Arch MVC, but there's even a bigger difference now. Loyola, the whole program's going to Atlantic 10. And first thought, I wanted to know what you first thought. I did see a tweet that was somewhat, you were breaking news. But we're not going to say you broke news fully, but we don't want to give any secrets away. But what did you think about the A-10? What do you think this means for the team and the program? Just overall thoughts.
I mean, I think it's great for the program. My dad was all negative. He's looking at the teams. He's like, oh, but my dad loves the Valley. And don't get me wrong, I like the Valley, but we're seeing it this year. You know, we thought the Valley was going to be a multi-bid league, and it's probably not. I mean, unless we were to run the table and somehow lose in the championship game in a close game, I don't see it being a multi-bid league, right? And then you look at the A-10, they're a multi-bid league every year, and there's not a question, right? It is a better basketball. I think one thing, you know, we won't have the geography of the valley that is pretty nice where, you know, our fan, but we, all of their, all the teams in there are, all the teams in the A-10 are in big cities, right? And our graduates probably go to big cities more than they go to Normal, Illinois, or, you know, different Terre cities in the valley.
Terre Haute, Indiana. Oh, yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah.
You know, we'll probably have more people in Washington, D.C. or, New York City. So I think that is a huge benefit. I think we may have a little bit more of a road presence.
That's really interesting. And then I think we can't really not talk about the progression. Not only in your time, you have seen another facility add, and that's the practice courts. I don't know if alumni have been able to just dunk on those rims, but I know Porter was probably happy to see practice facilities go up. So now he has his own court to practice on and doesn't have to fight. But we can't talk about the progression without talking about the new head coach and the new vision of the program. And that's with our new head coach this year, Drew Valentine. And I just have to pull back a tweet that you tweeted back out in April saying, I take a huge sigh of relief as I discover I am not older than my alma mater's head coach has kept me up since realizing he's 29. And I think not only as a former player, but as a young alumni, what did this new hire – again, you can talk about Porter leaving, but I've seen your tweets, and I think you're, of course, on the positive side, so we don't have to go into that. But really just what you think Drew not only means to hold the ship together now, but what does it mean in the next coming years for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think
no worries.
Coach leaving, why would he, he's got a Nike or a Air Jordan contract. He's making a ton of money. I don't blame Coach for leaving at all. But I chose to look at very happy for Coach, but I'm even just as happy for Loyola. Drew was the guy. I am friends with guys that are on the team, have been on the team. I'm obviously close with London. He was in my wedding. I'm close with Hitch. I still talk to Hitch all the time. Dave Vitale, who was our strength coach, and now he's the assistant athletic director, and I think he still does some strength stuff. I talk to Dave every week. You know, everybody was saying Drew was the guy. And so these are all people that I trust, and who have been around for a while from the beginning. And if they're all saying Drew's the guy, then hey, he's the guy. I've met Drew a couple of times. He seems to be great. And it sounds like he really took a lot of the positives of Porter and a lot of the culture. But he's bringing his own style, which is, you know, I love Coach. There's not ripping off of jackets and stomping of feet and running into the stands, right? Drew, like, I remember watching the first game, I think it was, and first or second game, maybe it was the Michigan State game where Huddy was struggling. And instead of yelling at him during a timeout, he took him to the side and he started talking to him. And, you know, it was like, you can tell that he has a good relationship with the guy. So I am like a huge Drew Valentine fan. I think he's doing a great job of not losing how we got here. Right. You got to remember how we got here, but also, you know, you're your own guy. So you got to, you know, think about that too, and bring your own flavor into it. And I think he's done a really good job of so far of, you know, melting the old and the new.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I do have to say though, I think you said your wife is now the bigger fan than you after you tweeted, told my wife this guy on the right, which is a picture of Drew, is the next Bachelor. She believed me and got very excited. Then I told her she was the new Loyola head coach and now she's the biggest fan. So I know your boys are committed to the program. So I'm assuming your wife is going to be committed. So I hope you can get to a game soon and cheer on Drew, but I really loved hearing that. So I think we've talked about Drew in the program. Unless there's anything really you wanted to highlight with the program and your impact, I wanted to talk about kind of what you think about this current team. We can't not talk about this current team, especially with Drew's first year. What you think about maybe gameplay or expectations you had coming in, and what really you see as the trek. I think you mentioned a little bit with the Valley running the table, so I'd love to hear a little bit more.
Well, one thing is, I mean, they have like seven guys that are graduate students who have been around, and I watched those guys, and when the, you know, the either the younger guys or the transfers, when they do something that isn't culture stuff, they immediately go over, and I'm like, oh, he missed that, and then immediately I'll watch Braden or here walk over and say, hey, you know, you can tell he's saying exactly what the culture is, right? So that is when you know it's been instilled in these guys. The additions, the Ivy League additions to this team, I mean, they were like exactly on brand for what Loyola is. I remember Brad Stevens saying to Porter, when you make it, don't go away from what got you there, right? The Porter was not successful with the uber athlete, right? Everybody is a winner. Everybody's a state champion. Everybody's a coach's son, something like that. And you can see that with this current team. It's all a bunch of winners, and they have a winning mentality. And even in times where they've gotten down, they fight right back in, and that's winning mentality, and that's what these guys have. So, and then the freshmen, I think they're really doing a great job of getting these guys little bits of playing time here and there. I mean, St. Thomas is a stud, and he's going to continue to be a stud. We need to do everything we can to keep him, you know, engaged and, you know, getting him into – if he were to take his natural size and ability – and get the winning mentality and the culture, I mean, that guy's going to be an NBA player. So the future is extremely bright. It looks like the recruits are extremely, they're right on par with what has got Loyola here. So I think the future, as a fan going into this, into the Valley or into the A-10, I think that the transition we will see is better from the Valley to the A-10, obviously, right? We're a Final Four team, a Sweet 16 team. We're going to be better, but I think we're ready to make that jump better than we were back in 2013.
Yeah, I love your just emphasis on the culture, and I think final tweet I wanted to bring back from you, and this was, again, something that I wanted to connect back to, but you tweeted saying culture was established. The point of culture is that you can lose a part or two, and it keeps on building. And I think that's just a great tweet, kind of summarize the expectations you've had and then the growth we've talked about, just because, like, you build a winning mentality, the players will start feeding that winning mentality and that care to, like, practice. And you talking about Braden, I know Buck and I always talk about how, like, TY and Saint have each other's back when it comes to stuff. So I think that is really, really special to see in a team, especially in the team as it grows. So yeah, I really appreciate that. So Buck, did you have any other questions?
I guess just to kind of like, be a little bit more specific about like the team this year, like what are your expectations for them this year? Like, do you see them winning another title? Do you see them making it to the tournament? Like, what do you think, these guys can achieve this year?
I see I've watched a lot of Valley games. I see us doing, you know, are we going to drop a game here or there? Sure. But I don't see any reason why we don't win the Valley regular season. I don't see any reason why we don't win the Valley tournament. I mean, Missouri State's going to be good. Those guys are, they have the athletes that could win any day against any team. They haven't really proven it every game this year, but they could beat anybody, right? And Loyola is included in that. Drake obviously can beat anybody. You know, they lost Roman Penn, I believe, but the rest of their team's back. You know, Joseph Yesufu went away, but he was a bench player last year. He had a good end of the year. So Drake can beat anybody, but, and, you know, Northern Iowa, they're Northern Iowa, right? They can, you know, get really hot and hit a ton of threes and beat anybody. But I think it would be a disappointment if we don't win the Valley regular season and we don't win the tournament. And then as far as when we make it to the NCAA tournament, these guys played with Michigan State and lost on a last second, you know, shot. You know, these guys can play with anybody. So, you know, specifically, we win the Valley, and then there's no question.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we're going to. You know, it's just like before the season, it like you mentioned this earlier, we all thought like multi-bid conference, and we're just seeing throughout, you know, these first 10, 12 games, you know, through injuries, some teams have some injuries, some teams, you know, are suffering from some other things as well, but it's just not as, strong at the top. But I think you're right. Missouri State is a team that definitely scares me, for this upcoming conference season. But, yeah, thanks for sharing your thoughts on that. Lou, what else you got for our man Billy here?
No, I think I also want to leave the floor for you to add anything or say anything. But I appreciate the time going from, again, I think you're one of the most well connected, not only playing, but also in your blood to the Loyola program. But then also just your insights. I think that's great to hear from someone seeing the growth of a program. And then just from looking on from the outside, I appreciate your time. But if you have anything, please, add it. Or again, we just really appreciate your time and coming on.
Yeah, I don't have anything specific. I just, you know, keep reemphasizing the future is very bright. I'm excited to see what Drew's incoming class next year looks like when he loses seven guys, right? Or whatever. I don't know if it's seven or eight guys that are going to be graduating, right? And so we'll see what Drew can really do. And it'll be very exciting to see what Drew can do. You know, I hope to get to a game this year. Hopefully it's that I can only make it to the NCAA tournament. That'd be great. when I'm there, I hope to see Tom Hitcho and Dave Vitale and some of those people that have been there forever from day one. I mean, Hitch was my dad's manager or my dad's trainer, and then he was my trainer. So Hitch is an all-time legend.
Absolutely.
And anytime if you guys were looking for somebody, I don't know if you've ever had him on, but Tom Hitcho is an encyclopedia of Loyola, and he is the most positive, amazing guy ever. We call him and text him for anything, and he takes care of us. And he would be somebody that all Loyola fans should get to know is Tom Hitcho. He's better known as the guy who's always sitting next to Sister Jean. While I love Sister, Hitch has been there just as much, if not more, through the days of long bus rides to Youngstown State and then Cleveland State and then back. So Tom Hitcho would be, and he is an awesome person if you can ever pin him down to get to know.
Absolutely. I'll say one thing on Hitch. Not only is he a legend in Loyola, but he also is a legend in basketball. He used to tape the great Larry Bird's ankles in college. That's how connected Hitch is. But, I appreciate your time, Billy, and I'll leave you on one thing. I am on the train of hire Flash to go to Illinois State and have the Valley just be Porter Moser's coaching tree.
Yeah. Especially now that Loyola is leaving the Valley and we wouldn't have to deal with Flash.
Absolutely.
And that dude is a basketball genius. He knows in his play calling. He called most plays. He knew he would be like, all right, guys, the night before a game, we would be in some hotel in the middle of, you know, it would be in Terre Haute, and they'd be like, hey, guys, I want you to see this this play they ran four seasons ago, midway through the first half. It's something that, and no, they don't have the personnel to do it this year, but they could do it. I mean, he watched so much film on our opposing teams, even when it wasn't his scout. So if Flash were to become a head coach, from an X's and O's standpoint, that team would be pretty good.
I agree. Well, Billy, I appreciate your time, appreciate your insight, and just appreciate your dedication to not only a former player, but as a fan. And thank you for giving us the time. I think we appreciate it, getting stuff we don't really know about, maybe getting a little behind the scenes curtain of what went through Loyola in the last few years. So we appreciate your time and hope to bump into you at a game, chat with you. Again, I know we're pretty active on Twitter, so we appreciate that as always.
Yeah. We'll see you guys there. Happy to talk anytime. Anytime you need some insight, I can give it. I'll use my like four sources and
four really good sources. At least one very, very good one. So I appreciate it.
I know a lot of what's going on from having my sources there. So All right.
There you go.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks very much, Billy.